Welcome to the Make That Money Honey podcast. I'm your host, Sandra Joe, and I'm a financial coach and entrepreneur who is passionate about educating millennials on how to manage their finances in a way that helps them build the life of their dreams, both personally and professionally. After working as a certified financial planner with high net worth clients, I realized that there was a younger generation of wealth builders who were in desperate need of financial support as they grew their businesses, their incomes, and their future. In 2020, I created my coaching business to provide affordable financial education to ambitious women and couples of all backgrounds. So let's dive in, but before we do so, don't forget to click download and be sure to check out previous episodes for lots of juicy interviews and free learning. Hey guys, just a quick disclaimer as this is a technical episode. The content of this episode and all of my Sandra Joe's social media is for informational and educational purposes only. You should not construe any such information as legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. Nothing contained on any of my platforms constitutes as a solicitation, recommendation, endorsement, or offer by myself or any other third-party service provider to buy or sell any securities or any other financial instruments in this or any other jurisdiction. You should always consider your own personal circumstances before making any decisions for investments or financial changes. You should always do your own research. Alrighty, enough with the fun stuff. Let's dive in. Hello, hello. Welcome back for another episode of the Make That Money Honey podcast. Today, this is an episode for Canadian investors only. So if you are an international person that is tuning in, unfortunately, this one is not for you because this is a tax-free savings account that is specific to Canada. Okay, so tax-free savings accounts are one of the most underrated, underused investment vehicles out there. A lot of people don't understand them, so they don't use them and they don't take advantage of them. So this episode today is going to be about things that you need to know about tax-free savings accounts, how beneficial they are, and then obviously you need to do your own research to see if this is right for you, figure out what your contribution limits are, and things like that. So firstly, let's talk about what a tax-free savings account is. Tax-free savings accounts were introduced by the Canadian government to encourage younger people to start saving money and to give them a bit of a tax break when they do so. So these funds can be used really anytime. It's not any type of retirement savings plan or anything like that. However, if you do decide that you want to keep it in your tax-free savings account for the long term, you can absolutely do so and then access it in retirement. So how does this differ from an RRSP? So RRSP, or Registered Retirement Savings Plans, are something that is designed for you to draw an income stream in retirement, and they give you tax benefits when you save money or make contributions as an adult while you're still in the working phase of your life, the wealth accumulation phase of your life. So RRSPs, which I will record a separate episode on, are you get a tax credit for your income tax when you make a contribution. So let's say you earn $100,000 for the year, you make a $5,000 contribution to your RRSP, your assessable income for tax purposes is now reduced to $95,000. How it works on the way out is when you decide to draw an income stream from your RRSP, you will be taxed as if it is regular income. So let's say in 25 years from now, you start drawing an income stream and you start pulling out $35,000 a year from your RRSP, you wouldn't have any other income from your employment because you're in retirement now. You may have some investment income, but you wouldn't have any other income from your employment. So you would be taxed on the $35,000 as if that was your salary from employment. So because you obviously get the tax-free threshold, you wouldn't have to pay a lot of tax on it. So the benefit of doing this is that you get the tax credit on the year that you're putting the money in. So if you're earning like $100,000 a year and you're putting in that $5,000, you're obviously on a higher tax rate than when you are to pull the money out when you're drawing an income stream in retirement and only earning $35,000 in tax. So That's why people use RRSPs. Now, people get confused with TFSAs, so they don't use them because there's obviously the tax credits of using an RRSP, and a lot of employers in Canada will do employer or sorry, employee contribution matching. So like if you put $5,000 in, they might put $5,000 in, or they might put 75% of your contribution in, which is $3,750, something like that. So different employers have different regulations around what they do in terms of RRSP matching. But with tax-free savings accounts, this really gives you ultimate flexibility. And it's something that I discuss a lot with my Canadian clients right now, particularly because I work with so many people that are in the age group of 28 to sort of 45. And the benefit of using a TFSA versus an RRSP is that you're not going to get taxed when you pull that money out. So let's say you're to put $10,000 of your savings into a tax-free savings account and you're to invest it into the stock market. Let's say you just put it into an index fund, and in 15 years from now, that amount has grown to $15,500. If you were to have that invested in your personal name, then you would, when you withdraw that $15,500, you would have to pay tax on the capital gain, which is the extra $5,500 that it's gone up since your original $10,000 contribution. However, because it's in a tax-free savings account, there's no tax payable on any of those gains. So this is hugely beneficial if you're looking to grow your investment portfolio and you don't want to have to pay tax on it, because you may want to pull that money out before retirement and use it for something like a wedding, or when you buy your first house, or if you have children and you want to put them through private school or whatever it is. You have access and you have an ability to grow your money in a tax-free environment over a number of years. And then when you take it out before retirement, you're not going to get that money added to your assessable income for the year that you pull it out. It's going to be completely tax-free. So I'm going to explain a little bit about how this works. This is obviously quite a technical episode, so you may have to go back and re-listen to it, make notes, pause it, rewind it. Things like that, especially if you're looking to start getting into tax-free investing. This is a really, really good way to get ahead. You don't need to be some professional investment guru. I personally always say look at it from a beginner's perspective. There are many different trading platforms and brokerages and online platforms that you can use now that are very inexpensive. You don't have to pay exorbitant financial planner fees or things like that. When you're just starting out, you can use something like Wealthsimple or Qtrade or any of these other online brokerages, and just be mindful to do your own research before you decide which one is best for you. But they give you a lot of investment options, and they have really inexpensive brokerages, especially with Wealthsimple. It's like a percentage as opposed to a flat dollar fee, which Qtrade is. So you just want to be mindful of taking into consideration the brokerage fee that you have to pay every time you do an investment. So with tax-free savings accounts, people think that once you set one up, you just automatically have money sitting in a TFSA. Well, it's sort of like having a bank account. Once you put that money into your TFSA, you then have to tell it where to go. So you have to actually pick your investment portfolio, and you can do a number of different kinds of things with your TFSA depending on where you hold your account and your platform, whether you're through a bank or one of these online brokerages that I mentioned. They will offer you different investment options. So you may be limited depending on what brokerage you use. But you can invest in things like a fixed interest term deposit. You could do something like a bond or a mutual fund or an index fund, or you can invest in direct stocks. But the point is that think of it like an account that you deposit money into. It's not going to do anything in that account until you give it some direction. So learning about what to invest in, being mindful of your tolerance for risk and diversification, so you're not putting all your eggs in one basket and you're not getting into some risky thing that you've never really researched or don't know and understand it. So if you're looking to learn about investing, there's so much free information out there. I also coach people on this. So if you do want to work together and learn about investing, we talk about all different kinds of investment asset classes, the risk associated with it, and what would be an appropriate risk category for you so that you can start getting into the market in an informed and educated way. But once you start these TFSAs, there's a couple things that you need to be mindful of. So number one is your eligibility to contribute, and that's being a Canadian resident over the age of 18 with a valid social insurance number. Anyone above the age of 18 that lives in Canada and is a permanent resident or citizen can invest in a TFSA, and there's contribution limits that are really important to understand, and you can find out this information. I've put the link in the description below to the Canada Revenue Agency website so that you can get all the information about contribution limits and based on age and when you're born and what year and all that. So definitely check that out because you do need to do some research to make sure that you are staying within your contribution limits. So basically after the age of 18, you are granted a contribution limit for that year. So let's say in 2024, you turn 18, you are eligible to contribute $7,000 because the contribution limit for the calendar year of 2024 is $7,000. So you can contribute $7,000 to your TFSA, but then when you turn 19, in 2025, based on, you don't have to wait until your 19th birthday. As soon as it hits January 1st, 2025, you can then access the contribution limit for 2025 as long as you stay within that year. So let's say it's 7,000 again next year. Next year, you could put another $7,000 in. So by the end of 2025, you would have $14,000 in your TFSA before any investment earnings and things like that. So knowing your contribution limit is hugely important. And as you age, if you've never contributed before, and let's say you're 25, you now have 7 years worth of accumulated contribution room. So that all accumulates and you would essentially have a lump sum that you could contribute into your TFSA. So if you, let's say you got an inheritance or got a bonus at work and you wanted to start investing with that money, you could put a lump sum into your TFSA, just making sure with your accountant or your previous year's tax return that you know what your TFSA contribution room is. That's what it's called, your contribution room. Staying within that limit and contributing that money. So let's say you put $20,000 in, you then now have $20,000 in your TFSA account. Anything that $20,000 then earns in an investment perspective, whether it be interest, whether it be dividends, some sort of cash payout, anything like that, all of that is tax-free. So if that $20,000 grows to $25,000, when you pull that $25,000 out, you don't have to pay tax at your personal tax rate on the $25,000. So let's use that example again. You put $20,000 in, it grows to $25,000, then you decide you want to buy a car with that money, so you sell your investments, you pull out the $25,000, and you buy a car. What happens next? Well, let's say you bought the car in August. You then have to wait till January of the following year because TFSAs follow the calendar year, and the following January 1st, you can then recontribute back the $25,000 that you pulled out plus the contribution limit for that year. So using 2024 as an example, let's say you pulled the $25,000 out in 2023 in August to buy your car. Then you waited until January 1st, 2024. You can then put back in the $25,000 that you pulled out plus an additional $7,000, which is the contribution limit for 2024 for everyone. So you can then put $32,000 back into your account. Now, you would then have to wait till the following January 1st, 2025 before you could make another contribution. So it's not like you can just continue to contribute unless, of course, you have excess contribution room that you haven't used up from previous years. That's where it gets tricky. So I definitely suggest that you A, check with your accountant about your contribution room if you're unsure, or check your contribution limits online, whether you go into the MyCRA account and have a look through your online account, or you contact CRA or check online about what your contribution limits are based on your age. So let's talk about the tax-free growth for a second. If you were to invest $20,000 in your personal name and you were on a high marginal tax rate, whenever you sell those investments, you're going to crystallize a capital gain, which means that if your money grows from $20,000 to $25,000, you are going to have a $5,000 capital gain when you sell those investments. So you don't have to pay tax in the year that they're accumulating. It's only when you sell the investments that you would have to pay tax on them. So if you have to pay tax on a capital gain, depending on when you purchased the investment, you would get a 50% discount on the gain, and then that 50% of the $5,000 that you earned, so $2,500, would be assessed towards your taxable income for the year. So this is a bit tricky. You just have to make sure that you know the capital gains rules and how they apply to you. But with a tax-free savings account, this is where the major benefits happen, is if you get a $5,000 capital gain, you don't have to pay any tax on that gain in the year that you sell it. That's why it's called a tax-free savings account. And the purpose of this really is to teach Canadians to be financially responsible, to give them a benefit of using these accounts to grow their wealth in the years that they need to access it. So I use this strategy with a lot of my Canadian clients because we know that we're going to need to access a portion of our finances before retirement, and we want to invest that money in the most tax-effective structure as possible. So this is the way that we would do so. We would make contributions, we would do some catch-up contributions based on our limit, and we would then invest it in the tax-free savings account so that if we need to access the money in 5, 7, 10 years from now, we can do so and pull it out in the year that we are still working and not trigger a tax liability because we are pulling that money out of a tax-free savings account. So it would not be added to your personal income tax. So for people that are looking to get ahead in the wealth generation phase of their life and want to use it for doing upgrades to their home or getting married or having children or things like that, this is a great way that you can save money, invest that money, and not have to pay tax on it later. So within your TFSA, you have different types of investment options. You can hold, like I said before, listed investments, including stocks, bonds, mutual funds, GICs, exchange-traded funds, or ETFs. And let's say you start a TFSA with one financial institution. So in Canada, I'll just use an example. Let's say you use RBC Bank, Royal Bank of Canada, you set up a TFSA, and then you go, actually, you know what? RBC fees are quite high for brokerage. I want to transfer my TFSA to another TFSA account within Wealthsimple, for example, and I don't want to be considered as doing a withdrawal and recontribution, because if you were to sell down all of your investments within RBC, take the cash payout and then move it from your personal bank account into a new account with Wealthsimple, that would constitute a withdrawal and recontribution. And we don't want to do that because you obviously have contribution limits per year. So if you're like, damn, I am stuck with this RBC account, what do I do now? You can actually transfer one TFSA account to another financial institution without triggering the withdrawal and recontribution. So how that works is you set up a new account with whatever the new platform is, whether it's another bank or whether it's with, you know, one of the online brokerages. And then when you're in your new account, you then set up an account transfer and you put in your enter in your account details from your existing TFSA, and then the new platform will pull over any existing account. So it's just a transfer of title and it's not actually a withdrawal and recontribution, because that's where some people can get stuck or penalized, is if they had $30,000 in their RBC account and they're like, okay, I want to sell out. Well, I know I'm not going to have to pay tax, so that's fine. So then they sell out, put the $30,000 in their personal bank account, open up a new account, and contribute that money into their new account. Well, that's going to trigger a contribution, and you don't want to do that because then you can get penalized for over contribution penalties. And how over contribution penalties works is that if you exceed your contribution limit for that year, you will then have to pay a 1% per month on the excess amount that you over contributed until that over amount has been withdrawn. So you just want to really be mindful that you're not exceeding these contribution limits. Okay, so that's contributions and transferability from one financial institution to another. You can also designate a beneficiary. So if you die and you have a spouse, you can nominate your spouse as a beneficiary, or your sister, or your mom, or your child, somebody like that, so that they automatically are transferred your TFSA account for estate planning purposes when you die. So that's the benefit of having this type of account, is you can assign a beneficiary to that. There will also be no impact on your eligibility for federal income-tested benefits and credits, such as the child care benefit, Canada's child benefit, old age security. The TFSA withdrawals are not counted as income earned, so you don't have to use this or consider this when you are accounting for how much income you're going to have from a Canada benefits perspective. So that's something that is another benefit. Whereas if you are receiving a pension or some other type of RRSP or something like that, you do have to disclose that because those are federal income tested benefits. Whereas with a TFSA, you are putting after tax dollars from your own personal bank account, so money that has already been taxed either from your employer or from your personal tax returns, into this tax-free savings account. So when it comes out, it's already money that was yours. So you don't, it won't have any income. Sorry, it won't have any impact on your federal income tested benefits. So that's another really good thing to be aware of. Now, another example, which is really cool, and this is something that I've recently worked on with some of my Australian clients, because they are Australian, living in Canada, they're permanent residents, and eventually one day they're going to move back to Australia and start a family. So for people that are in that situation where they are a resident of Canada and then they leave and become a non-resident for tax purposes in the future, you can keep your TFSA invested and continue to benefit from the tax-free investment and growth. But the only downside is that you can't make any additional contributions. So you can only make contributions and take advantage of the contribution limit in the years that you are considered a Canadian tax resident for the contribution room perspective. But for example, let's say each of these clients who is eventually planning to move back to Australia had $50,000 sitting in their TFSA. When they eventually move back to Australia, they get the benefit of all of the tax-free earnings on that $50,000 on all of their investments, and they could leave that money invested as long as possible and not withdraw it, because any earnings on that $50,000 over time will continue to be tax-free. So there's obviously a lot of considerations around this for Canadian investors. However, they are going to be able to take full advantage of the tax-free savings account. The only downside is that they wouldn't be able to make any additional contributions once they are a non-tax resident. So if this is the scenario that you're in, where you are a Canadian resident planning to return to your home country at some point. This is definitely something that you can plan around. I work with people on this all the time. So you can definitely book a free consultation call with me. You can go to my website, www.sandrajoe.com. All of the information is there on how to connect with me for a consultation call. So there's a lot of benefits around getting invested with tax-free savings account. You obviously have to do your own research. There's a lot to know about this. But I thank you so much for listening to this technical episode. If you do have any questions about it, feel free to reach out to me on Instagram at makethatmoney.honey. And I would be happy to work with you if you are interested in getting started with investing for the very first time. This is something that I help a lot of my clients with once they start to build up some cash reserves, and we do strategic planning around their whole financial picture and see if investing within a TFSA or RRSP is right for them. We also look at how we can use these different tools towards saving for their first home or planning for a big expenditure, such as a wedding or having children or maternity leave, all of those types of things. So investing within a TFSA forms part of a broader overall strategy, and that is what I do with my private client coaching, which you can find on my website. It's called Your Financial Future, and it will also have information about all my different coaching programs and how we can work together on that website as well. So thank you so much for listening, and I hope to see you next time. Thanks for listening. If you love this episode, please feel free to share it with a friend or leave me a 5-star review. I will be forever grateful so that I can reach more ambitious people like you. You can connect with me on Instagram at makethatmoney.honey or find ways that we can work together to help you create lasting financial freedom and security at www.sandrajoe.com. And until next time, go make that money, honey.